This is the Hip Hop African Podcast, a show where we have in-depth conversations about African hip-hop culture and artists. Your host is Msia Kibona Clark, a professor in the Department of African Studies at Howard University. For more information or to contact us, please visit us at hiphopafrican.com.
The goats, became the lion. As soon as the lion stopped taking L's, he became as hard as an iron. I came from the lowest peaks, but I'm carrying me and my future to Mount Zion. No safety to the hike. This is a hill I'm willing to die.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hip Hop African Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Msia Kibona Clark. I'm a professor of African Cultural and Feminist Studies and the director of the Hip Hop Studies minor at Howard University. Today's guest is Ghanaian lyricist Lyrical Joe. Actually met up with him on his set for his upcoming 5th August music video. Lyrical Joe has built a reputation as a strong lyricist, and over the past decade, he's become known for his annual 5th August releases, which makes this August episode even more special. The 5th August releases are long-form lyrical songs that have helped cement his place among the country's serious MCs. He's earned national recognition. This includes the Downer Music Award for Best Rap Performance and the 3 Music Award for Rap Performance of the Year. Beyond awards, his music has attracted attention for its intellectual depth and storytelling. Actually, I first discovered his music through students in my Hip Hop in Africa course. Several students independently chose to research and analyze his music. And, you know, I enjoyed reading those posts. And so when I went to Ghana this past month, I reached out and was able to get a sit-down interview. So today's interview, we talk about lyricism, faith, language, competition in hip-hop, the origins, of course, of the 5th August series, and what it means to build a career by staying true to your artistic position. Lyrical Joe, welcome to the Hip Hop African Podcast. All right. So first, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know you're super busy. But I first came, really got to know your music because my students, I teach a class on hip hop in Africa, and students have to like do research on contemporary artists. And so I had a couple students write about your music.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Where's this guy?
Yeah. So... But then I also read that your work has been studied in the UK.
Yeah.
And so I guess the first question is, how does it feel to kind of like find out your work is being studied and being kind of approached in that way in like an academic setting?
For someone like me, it's crazy because crazy as in a good way, because to begin with it, I'm a school dropper. I dropped out at the most basic. In Ghana, we have the one of them called JHS.
Yeah.
That's where I dropped out at JHS too.
Okay.
So for me to go so far and go so hard to be studied out there is like a blessing to me. It's like it goes a long ways to tell me that education is not just school. It's all about you learning and putting in the efforts to know things.
Yeah.
And I'm real humbled by that. I mean, your message came as well. And I was like, wow, this is beautiful. This is beautiful.
So then does that impact like your creative process? So as you're writing and doing your music and kind of thinking, because you already gonna think about the impact.
Yeah.
But knowing that your music is also being studied by students, does that have an impact on in terms of kind of when you're thinking about your creative process?
Definitely. That has been my thing, right? So Ghana, the music scene is kind of like a bit friendly, right? Mm-hmm. Where they kind of not like too much intellectual people. Or when you sound like you are too polished, that's a bit of a problem. So I came up from when I started freshly, it was people saying, no, we're not going to play this music because you're speaking too much English. You're saying too much deep things. What does it, what you're saying, that, what does it mean? What's the metaphor? What are you talking about, right? Your double entendres and things, what does it mean? And it was always that pressure to dumb it down.
Yeah.
And my inner spirit just knew that, no, that's not in your space to dumb it down. Do you? There are people that are going to dumb it down. That's them. But that is not you. Do you? And so I had to go against the odds.
Yeah.
It had me have issues with investors because, you know, people are going to come and be like, listen, we want your artist to do it like this.
Yeah.
And I had to find my kind of investors to come in and everything that would hold me and not listen to those kind of things. Yeah. And I went against all of that and I got here and all of a sudden I became one of the rappers that started getting reaction from Ghana exactly like all over the world.
Yeah.
And then it was, my inner self still told me like, yeah, you see, this is it. This is who you are. This is where you are going to. This is your music. And I had to come into that space to understand that I'm not for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's not for me. So it definitely influences what I'm writing because I know that what I wrote is what brought me here.
Yeah.
So then if I do better, I'm going higher.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the appreciation from young people, I did a guest talk at one of the schools, one of the classes at the University of Ghana. It's a class of like 400 students. So I had them write 10 songs, 10 hip hop songs that they listened to. Yeah. There were a few people who were like, we don't listen to hip hop. I'm like, just whatever. And so I went through the lists to see what names popped up. And of the Ghanaian artists, your name was one of the ones that came up. And I found that like university students, it's like they were able to kind of like really absorb and appreciate.
Yeah.
So it's also kind of like also speaks again to the
what you're doing. Yeah, mm-hmm. True. Very, very true.
So one of the things I found, listen to your music, there's a lot of references to faith and God. It appears a lot in your music, but you're not really categorized as a Christian rapper. And so the question is, what role does faith play in your music and in your life?
Hi, faith is everything. Mm-hmm. Self-belief. Mm-hmm. I had to believe in me, and it had to come to a point where I had to understand that if I believe in me, I believe in God.
Mm. Okay.
I had to understand that God is not sitting somewhere on some throne looking at me, but he's inside me. Mm. And the more I believe in myself, the more I believe in God. And that faith took me from where I was to somewhere that, because I was about 10, 11 when I lost my parents, very young, both of them. And this is me. I knew I could write raps.
Yeah.
But then, at that age, I wasn't working. School dropped out. I didn't have anyone to pay studio time for me and everything. So what I did was, I started picking up people's music. Mm-hmm. So if it's Eminem, yeah. Let me say if it's Tupac or Eminem,
yeah.
I'll pick up his song. And while he's rapping, I'm able to filter his voice out with my mind and then write on the instrumental. Just how hard it was for me because I wasn't going to get instrumental anywhere. Nobody was going to give me a beat. I wasn't ready to buy anything at that time and everything. And just to know, I was sleeping in a wooden structure for the building. If you look back at here, something like that.
Okay.
That's where I was sleeping. And this faith in me, myself, took me all the way from that place to beginning to win an award and, you know, going far. So I understood that God is not any other place outside there, but it's in me. And if I believe in me, so that is the thing that fueled the faith message. I wanted everyone that was listening to me and everyone that is in my position, yeah. I don't have a mother, a father, or anybody, a guardian, believe in yourself. Believe that you can also go. That's it.
Okay. And so the language, though, you mentioned rapping language. So I remember like years ago, I interviewed Adam and he was saying that, you know, that there is a dominance of tree rap,
yeah.
in Ghana.
Yeah.
And so in your music, like, how did you come to the decision to rap in English? And like, have you thought about kind of like mixing in
Ewe? So the thing is, I've thought about mixing in. Sometimes I will do it and I'll put maybe my choruses or my hooks, yeah. in tree or Ewe.
Yeah.
And just to make it dynamic a bit. And I swing on Afro beats. I do all those stuff, right? Yeah. But then music is communication. I want to communicate my feelings. And I came to a place where I found that there's no better way, there's no other way to communicate this thing but to the language that I can do it in very well.
Yeah.
One. And it's like people were confused. They're like, okay, so you're from Ghana. I'm like, okay, listen, I'm from Ghana, but we are all selling Ghana, right? Mm-hmm. So if I come out there to the USA or to the UK, and I want to tell people that, look, this is Ghana food. It's called Banku. I'm not going to do that in tree. I'm going to have to do it in English and tell you, this is a food from Ghana.
Yeah.
It's called Banku. It's made by condo and cassava, maize, everything. And this is what it is. So it's the same thing, mm-hmm. we are all selling the culture. We are all selling Africa. If I want to show them, this is, let's say Africa is known for one of the things people would say, Africa, voodoo. I'm like, okay, I want to market voodoo to you. I'm not going to come and do it in the language that you don't understand it in. I would have to know your language. And it's the same way. It's the same thing people did to us, and we have issues. That's more like they would say slavery. They had to learn the things that we know and master the things that we knew. Some of them even tried to know it better than us to use it against us. So it's like yin yang for me.
Okay, and it's good. I mean, the thing is, sometimes artists will rap in English because, you know, thinks it makes themselves more marketable, but they're not as good. That's the process. So that's the thing, is like rapping in which you're most comfortable. Yeah.
And the next thing is, by what you're saying, people would like to, you know, you're speaking your English, I'm speaking mine, but there's difference, right?
Yeah.
You can hear the tonation, you realize that, okay, this person really is from America. I've never tried to force my English to try, when I'm rapping, to try to sound like trying to slur things and you're like something I'm not. I'm speaking to you straight. How are you doing? Yeah. Or how are you doing that? So that's the problem. Yeah. People try to adapt to the Western slur so much that they even sway away from the message.
Yeah.
It's more important for them to actually sound like they're from the Western than the message that they want to give. That's the thing. I've never tried to slur or change the tonation of my mouth. I'm speaking straight, and that's what I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, the song that the students that like just, and it would be random students who hadn't talked to each other year after year who were talking about your music. It's always the 5th August release.
That's what I'm shooting today. The 5th August is very close. That's what I want.
So then how did that start? Where did that idea come from and how did it start?
That idea, 5th August is my birthday. I had my first deal when I came to Accra. And the challenge was I had to record 100 songs before I would be signed. The person that was giving me the deal was going to just, he was providing a studio, a producer for me. So he's like, look, listen, I want to invest in you, but I want you to show me that you're worth it. I'm giving you a producer. This is the studio. I'm giving you 2 months. Give me 100 songs.
Wow.
Give me 100 songs. Out of those 100 songs, we're going to take 25 out to put out your first EP, LP. So if you're ready, if you're up to the task, let's get it. I was like, okay. So I was working on that, and my birthday was very close. I'm like, I want to do something. It's my birthday, and I want to do something. And this thing that I want to do, since it's my day, I just want to rap.
Yeah.
I get this is what I love doing. So on that day, I just want to rap without any, you know, music have this rule where you have 30-minute duration and all that.
Yeah.
I'm like, just throwing the beat for me. I just want to go berserk. When I'm okay, I'm okay. Let's put this out. No structure, nothing. Mm-hmm. And the producer did it. And then I got on there and I did my thing before I realized we were like 6 minutes straight rap.
Yeah.
6 minutes. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm fine. I'm good. And we, by then, no rap music in Ghana was on radio. Mm-hmm. They weren't playing no rap music for 6 minutes. Not even for you to talk about you rapping in English, right? So we sent it out to a DJ like, listen, this is my birthday and my wish is that I need you to play this for me just once, even if just once. And it blew. It just went everywhere. So it was speaking to me again. Like, you are not just you don't have to do it how everyone does it.
Yeah.
You need to do it your way. And lo and behold, that won me the 5th edition of my 5th August won me my first rapper of the year awards in Ghana music.
I mean, honestly, when you think of like lyricists and like great lyricists from like Eminem to even Lil Wayne, and there are these songs, these long songs. So I think that's also speaks to your skills as a lyricist. Yeah,
and you know ball. Those are some of the two people that I learned. I'm a student of the game. I go all the way back before Tupac and everything. I learned, I listened to everyone. But you know, there are these two people that it really stuck to, you know, that they got some techniques and some things. Like these two names you mentioned are some people that actually fool that as well. Cause you know, Eminem, we're talking about Rap God, Wayne, something like Glory, Emily, you know, he's just going in. So that's the kind of thing I try to bring in. It worked.
Okay. So you have been also known as an artist that's not afraid of battling and beefing. So I wanted to, because there's, you know, it's part of hip hop. I mean, it's been there since the beginning. But, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, it's not good. And there's these debates. Why do you think it's important and healthy for artists to battle in terms of battle? Hip-hop?
Yeah, sometimes it keeps the sword sharp. Mm. And sometimes yes, you might think that you're better than someone till you get into this thing and you realize, yeah, I need to sharpen myself. And most of my beefs I've had, I woke up in the middle of it, like somebody is bringing up my name or something. And I'm always happy to compete because I find, like what you said, it's the sport.
Yeah.
You don't go on the track with Usain Bolt and want to be friendly there. Yeah. He's your friend. He's going to hug you after the run. But when it's time to run, it's time to run. Yeah. So, yeah, I've always been that kind of warrior kind of rapper that mm-hmm. would step in the field if somebody wanted to, you know, take my pride or show that they were better than me. I've always been that kind. And it's very important for the game.
It is. It is. I mean, like, we just saw the whole massive thing just with Drake.
Yeah, Drake.
And
yeah.
Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really good. I mean,
it was good for hip hop.
It was.
You see, that thing made even some people that view, I'm not here to talk about the winner, but even some people that view Drake as a soft dude kind of give him a little respect. Because he stood on his toes against all the people that came. Even if he was losing, he was ready to go.
Yeah.
He was ready to go. And that's the thing. You always got to have that spirit. Let's go.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, as a Kendrick stan, I just kind of like...
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, Kendrick did his thing.
He did his thing. Okay, so one of the last couple questions, because I know you're busy, is... So for someone who's new to your music...
Yeah.
What three songs would you say they should start with?
Yeah. I have an album titled I Am.
Yeah.
And I would give that, I think I have a couple of albums, but I would give I Am to people. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, just the very first three songs on that album.
Okay.
From the intro to, one is titled You.
Yeah.
Just You. Yeah. 5th August.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I have a song titled, the main song that is titled I Am on that album. Mm. They should listen to it.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Maybe you two, you can go into that album and listen and see.
No, I had. To kind of really prepare, I did a bit of a deep dive.
Nah.
And that was why, because when I was kind of looking, I'm like, there was no mention of like being, you know, a Christian rapper. But I'm like, I'm listening and I'm like, there's these references that I'm picking up. And so I know it was very intentional. As you're doing these interviews and everything, and people are kind of getting to know you, what question do you get the most? And like, is it one that you appreciate or is it one you get tired of getting asked?
How do you do it? How do you do it? I'm like, listen, it's just like, to me, it's just like the mayor waking up and going to job. That's your job. This is my God-given talent and it's my work. If I fail, I would only fail if I don't work on it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who's looking or who's not looking, but this is what is given to me by God. So I would fail if I don't wait. It's my job. So I think that people keep asking, how do you do it? I'm like, it's my job. And it's I just have to keep going. That's it.
Are there any MCs on the continent that, or off the continent, that you kind of have a list of artists that you would love to collaborate with?
Yeah, you mentioned one when you came. I like Kendrick. Yes,
yeah.
Definitely. I would Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah. So you see how I mean, when it comes to picking people I want to work with, I really don't look at the hype. I don't really look at when they're popping or not. I just know that this person is a great artist. I would love to do something with this person. Kendrick is one of them. Is one of them, those people that when you feature as well, you know, it keeps you know that you're about to sharpen yourself because Ion sharpened it. Ion, basically, Wayne has been my man like forever. Yeah, definitely. I'll do something with J. Cole as well.
He's dope. Okay. So then what's next? So you are shooting a video. You're doing another August 5th.
Yeah.
5th August. And so what else? Like what in terms of you got coming up?
I'm doing another August 5th. And this year, the thing is, August 5th every year, I've put out these solo songs mm-hmm. that are 10 minutes rap songs.
Yeah.
11 minutes. But this year I'm doing it as an EP.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so even though I'm going to have the main 5th August song on there that is like the 10-minute, then you have these other songs. Because this is the 10th year. It means I've been doing it for 10 years. So this is the 10th one. So this year I'm doing 5th August 10th. So I'm beginning as one. So now I'm starting to do an EP. So from this year, it's going to be an EP. And after the 5th August EP, I'm going to put out an album as well.
Okay. So I know people can stream your music. But where would you prefer people buy your music? Because I know that's like, yeah.
It's two places though. I mean, it's that's like you have Apple Music. It's Apple Music. Then we have Spotify. There's two places. My YouTube, I love it when.
So there's no like Bandcamp or something that people can buy direct from.
That's the thing. So there are these apps and these companies that have that specialty. Sometimes, like Ghana here, we have Boomplay. And they especially come to you and be like, or AudioMac, they be like, okay, this, we want you to release it exclusively here. Let the people buy it here. So sometimes some of the project, I released a project last year, a very short project, Briefcase EP, and that's what I did for it. So sometimes I do that.
Okay. Yeah, because I know artists, you know, it's like the streaming, you get like, it's...
You just get the raindrop, the raindrop of it, yeah.
Well, I appreciate this. Thank you
so much. I appreciate your time too. Bro, I never missed
nomination. 4 years in a row, I always smoke competition. Doing whatever suits me, I'm serving my terms. 4 years in a row, now they all politicians. In God's arms, I can never be manhandled. This is not the kind of cake that man candled. Weatherfuckers always predicted I had a cloudy face. So I rain for all the shine that man fumbled. I'm just entitled to deliver, it's my birthright. I was never born to go left, my birthright. Pen it on my birth certificate.
Thanks for listening to the Hip Hop African Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe. For more interviews, articles, and resources, visit hiphopafrican.com. We'll see you next time. Peace.